Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
Felice's sense of love has got to be messed up. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
If that sounds like you, stick around. If your friends sent you this podcast out of a desperate attempt to get you to watch Young Royals, take this as a sign.
Go watch Young Royals, then come back to this podcast.
Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today we'll be having a character discussion of Felice in Season 1, Episode 3, having decided that it's complicated.
In this discussion, we won't be summarizing the plot of the episode, because we already did that. If you need or want a refresher, head back 8 episodes in our feed to our most recent This Week of Hilarska for a full breakdown. This episode discussion will likely be all over the place, so strap in. You have been warned.
Okay. So, it literally just, like, hit me in, like, a flash of inspiration as I was watching the scene with Felice and her mom on her bed.
Mm-hmm.
Is... love is criticism and expectations.
Yeah.
For Felice.
Yeah.
Like, which I do feel is what she failed to communicate to Sarah, but we'll get there. We've mentioned it before in Love Among Royals, but to really, like, dive deep, like, this episode does a great job of just immediately painting a picture of Felice that, like, oh no, I do get it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. And now I feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I would for sure agree with that. Because they jump right in this episode.
Because it's like, we did assassinate her in the first episode. Wasn't as hard of an assassination as August, but like
nothing
we still
be.
Did, and like we admitted that, and then we admitted things were complicated because she was coming around next mm-hmm. last episode in Felice the Nice.
Is that what we called her last cycle?
Yeah, Felice the Nice.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it's really high quality.
And now I feel like it's the situation where. She didn't do well. Take that back. She did do some questionable things. What am I saying? This episode, but it's not the same level of questionable or the same type of questionable as the first episode.
No.
And with the context we get in this episode, the much bigger like oh shit moments. Are now couched in being like, oh, I see her perspective now, and I know where she's gotten these ideas from. We kept, as mentioned before, like we kept alluding in the first two episodes that like she has these ideas, and these ideas have to have come from somewhere because they're mm-hmm. not the kind of things that you just come up with on your own, really.
Yeah.
Like, or like very rarely they are. And so now that it's been fully, as I said, like placed in context and we get basically like what her deal is
mm-hmm.
and the sort of pressure that has been placed on her.
Yeah.
I think it totally makes sense. I mean, everything she does makes sense, which is always, you can say that about a lot of characters, and you can say that about characters, specifically August, that we've like, we've also assassinated, but it's like I see her just in this position of she's floundering. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Like
she also like everything questionable.
Yeah.
Well, okay, this isn't exactly true, but most of what is questionable in this episode is A, from her own ideas of, like, I'm not enough for my parents, I need to be, like, the best possible version of myself, and then B, lack of communication, which...
Oh, yeah.
I was a 16-year-old once, you were a 16-year-old once.
Right.
I don't think I've ever had good communication when I was a 16-year-old.
Right, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Or at least effective communication to the extent exactly. that it would have had to have been to get across what needed to get across.
Yeah. Like, rewatching that scene in the
the riding arena.
The riding arena, yes. Between Sarah and Felice, like, mm-hmm. you see both of them in that, like, you see Sarah start to be vulnerable and you see Felice being vulnerable back. But undoubtedly, like, Sarah was way more forthright.
Yeah, they're like being vulnerable on two different planes.
Yeah.
Like, Felice is like given the hints and hoping that she doesn't have to say it.
Yeah, which is.
And Sarah is like, no, my dad sucks.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, and I think I am glad, like, to that end that, like, she doesn't necessarily seem, like, outright, like, pissed at Sarah. Like, she's not redirecting those feelings. She does kind of just immediately turn it into self-pity, which is also not the most healthy, but it's at least, like, she can recognize, as shitty as the whole situation is, that she is in a hellish situation of her own making. Like, I guess to maybe, like, just outline some of the specifics of it, though, of, like, I don't know. I was really focusing on Felice's mom this time.
Mm-hmm.
And just the degree to which a lot of the things she talks about, I mean, granted, she does not have that much screen time or lines, but it's just, like, she's talking about horseback riding or her life at Hlaerska, like, most of the time.
Yeah, except, or, like, fishing for... Are you getting with the prince?
Exactly. Like, how are things going? They're good. And, like, how are things with Wilhelm? Like, that's, like, literally how things go down. Which, like, then you see Wilhelm sit down. And I was, like, I wrote down, like, okay, I'm not trying to be disgusting with this or anything. But, like, God, Smeeson is almost, like, uncomfortably thirsty for Wilhelm. Like, not in, like, a direct way, but, like, in like, a I want you to date my daughter way. Like, it gets, once we know that, it's, like, it's all I see.
Hang on.
What?
Is it really? I don't think I ever paid attention to that part.
What, specifically when she asked him if he still rides anymore. Look at her eyes.
All right, I'm pulling it up. You're so right. Ew. Like, I'm just
Thank
looking
you.
At this
I feel
screen
justified. Cap. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, right as he asks Simon to sit down.
Okay. But then move ahead to when, like, she asks him if, like, what is, like, if he still horseback rides. Like, the way she asks it.
I feel icky. She really is just, like, searching for that. Ugh.
Yeah. I never looked at her that closely, but I was like, oh my God.
Side note, we were robbed by not having horse boy Wilhelm. Just saying.
No, fair. I mean, we do get it implied that he used to be a horse boy.
I know, but.
Yeah.
We were robbed.
But, okay, moving past that kind of that uncomfortable point. Like, I think when that, as you. Yeah. Margaret is showing me their screen right now.
Okay.
Yeah. But, like, okay, then regardless of how the kind of oopsie from Sarah happens,
mm-hmm.
I think I've put together this time that, like, Wilhelm recognizes that moment of, like, unspoken criticism from your mom.
Yeah.
And, like...
Well, because it's also what he knows from his mother.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I didn't realize until this rewatch. I was like, oh, of course you would pick up on that dynamic.
Oh, yeah. Trauma knows trauma.
Like, of course, like, you would have been in a situation where your mom has to reprimand you without causing an international incident.
Yeah, you mean like 2 weeks ago when he got into a fight? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know. From that, like, I wrote down, I know you basically skip it every single time. I don't know if you watch it for this, but I was like, I'm like, the kiss was going to happen and we don't have to like it, but it does feel hard to shit on Felice too hard for it.
I don't shit on Felice too hard. It's just uncomfortable.
No.
Because, no, like, it was going to happen. Really, and as soon as he walks out there and when she goes, "Do you think I'm perfect?" or whatever she says, yeah. And he says, "Of course," or whatever he says, you knew it was going to happen. It was a matter of when, not if, you know.
Yeah, it is really interesting, and this is a little bit more of a Love and Memorials point, and I think we might have even already covered it, but like that Wilhelm can have such empathy for how Felice is feeling in that moment and not go a few steps forward knowing that, like,
yeah,
saying that everyone thinks you're perfect is not the thing to say in this moment.
Oh yeah. There's, like, such empathy without lack of awareness, which I think is a special skill to have.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think also, I would imagine, like, in a situation where Wilhelm is potentially playing Eric in the situation of when it happened, like, I think Eric is maybe one to go for the comforting lie.
Yeah.
Or, like, something that, like, probably wouldn't entirely ring true, but, like, is something that is going to feel good hearing.
Yeah. That's fair.
I don't have any evidence to back that up, but that's just the vibe I get.
That's a vibe I get as well.
Yeah. And so, like, best of intentions, but it's, like, this was going to happen.
Yeah, and it's really kind of funny how shocked he is, but this is the Felice episode.
It is. But, well, I'm saying that insofar as, like, and not that I've seen people shit on Felice for it, but I think it's just, like, in an episode where, like, we're not standing Felice, but we're also not assassinating her, I want to recognize, like, kissing someone without their consent with, like, basically no warning, a little bit of a dick move.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you fully get emotionally where she's at that moment, so it's like,
yeah,
doesn't justify it, but it's like I get it. Mm-hmm. Sure, cool. Mm-hmm. And it's like she clearly feels bad about it afterwards too.
Yeah.
I wrote she clearly feels bad about it drives her to sleep with August. Who's really losing here? I'm only half joking.
God damn it. That's self-punishment right there. God damn. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, that is the one scene I skipped for with this episode.
God, it's so uncomfortable.
It is, but I watched it enough. I had to choreograph it written out for This Week Kalershka, so I've watched enough.
yeah you did your time. I think I got to skip both of them. Because I think you also had to do the kiss scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
That was Ace Alice. I remember, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It is kind of how the cookie crumbled, but also it's a situation. It was also a situation that was hilarious where you were like, oh, man, which one of us gets the kiss scene? Because I was the one divvying it up. And I was like, oh, you're not the one. You're not worried about which one got the Felice and August sex scene? And you're like, I forgot that was a thing.
I did. I had blocked that out. Yeah. Well, because it's in the last, like, little bit of the episode. So if you just exit Netflix about 5 minutes early, you get to skip it.
I mean, especially if you're trying to avoid Eric's death on a rewatch. You're just like,
yeah. Oh.
You just, it's like comes right before
the end of the
episode, so.
I just realized I skip a lot of Felice's scenes in this episode because they make me uncomfortable. But she doesn't have Felice a lot of screen time.
Well, she's going through it this episode, though.
She really is.
Even though, like, she's not seen a ton. Like, everything she's going through is
fucking rough. It's rough.
Yeah. Like,
I guess I only skipped two, but she's not on the in the epilogue, so.
Yeah. So, like, but I don't know. I can't imagine that, like, Felice is completely abnormal in the way her parents treat her.
No, not especially not when your parents are that rich, you know?
Right. Like, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm curious, I would be curious to see, like, how many people Hilarishka could relate to her. But, like, I think there is, I think for her, a very strong sense of, just a deeply ingrained sense of failure.
Because
it's like, it's not just that, like, she has expectations placed on her. It's that, like, who she is failing to meet them.
Yeah.
Like, and not for nothing. I think something I often kind of forget as our first, basically one of the first lines out of Smisun's mouth when her and Felice are alone together is handing her a dress and saying, this is too big to me, big for me, but I think it would be perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said, like, love is criticism. Like Nikita is doing such a fascinating job of still, like, looking, like, completely adoring.
Oh, she knocks it out of the fucking park in that scene where she's like, oh, thank you. But, like, that hurts.
Like, she's saying these awful things. And it's like the fact that Felice is taking them for love and affection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, like, I pointed it out in Art of the Frame. No, I don't, Art of the Choice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you see for the briefest moment, Felice just being absolutely terrified before her parents arrive.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Like, we talk about anxiety a lot with Wilhelm in this episode, in this series, but, like, I think Felice was on the verge of a panic attack, but just was really good at hiding it. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm also just thinking, like, the so many lines in that scene between her and Smisun. They're
it's fascinating.
Because it's, yeah, every single thing in there you could just dissect further and further.
Yeah, everything is a backhanded compliment.
And everything is new levels of fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, having a mom who, like, not only, like, this in its own way can be, like, a totally a normal thing of, like, having a mother who, like, regularly follows, like, looks at your Instagram. Okay, cool. Someone who regularly keeps track of who is liking your Instagram posts.
Terrifying. Terrifying. I mean, in some ways, it's like, you know, Instagram gives you the liked by if you follow somebody who liked, you know? So yeah. I'll be scrolling through Instagram and be like, hey, Anton already saw this post.
yeah.
But I'm not clocking it for every, you know, like, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Like, the fact that she knows.
Yeah, with that's authority, scary.
Oh, he likes all of your posts.
Yeah, that's scary.
And it's just like, it's on the one hand, it's like, oh, she's taking an interest in her daughter's life. Ooh, yay. But it's like, not in a healthy way. Very much not in a healthy way.
No, she's one of those Life 360 moms that, like, tells you to plug your phone in because it's at, like, 42%. Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
I do, but I think we need to contextualize for our audience.
There's an app that lets you track your family members, and it can send alerts to family members about, like, your phone's battery percentage and, like, maybe phone usage. I don't know. I don't have the app.
Yeah. I don't. I had some Life 360 friends growing up.
What was the Life 360 gang up to?
I mean, I'm not gonna tell their stories for them.
No,
but
please don't.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, I don't know. Basically, I don't know how influential the app is outside of America, but or even if it's just maybe even a Midwest thing. I don't even know. But it is most often used.
If it was a Midwest thing.
But like, it is for the most part used by parents to keep track of basically everything their child does on their phone.
Yeah. Does it track usage as well? So, like, it would have sent my mom an alert when I was spending 8 hours on my book app. Like, is that what it does?
I believe it basically sends all data. I'm almost certain. App usage. I don't know if it like literally shares search history or stuff like that, but like it has some pretty terrifying power from what I remember.
Your child spent approximately 16 hours today on Archive of Our Own. Maybe check in on them. Why do they have 8 tabs open for the same website? Who knows? Maybe check in on them. Exposing myself here.
I wasn't going to call you out, but I think the listener can tell. Oh, God. I don't know. And it's like, okay, I also don't want to completely let Fleece's dad off the hook either. Like, he is mostly ignorant of a lot of things, it seems, or just pretends not to see it.
Did he have a single line this episode?
I mean, he speaks at Parents' Day a little bit. But we also just get context from Felice that his big concern is her grades.
Yeah.
And so he's still putting as much pressure on her, just in a much different way. And it comes across different. So
yeah,
it's really easy to tear into Smee-sun and like see Poppa as just like the, like, kind of, there's a phrase I'm trying to use, but I can't remember. The ever suffering husband to the scheming wife, but the phrase I'm looking for is long suffering. His wife does all these things without like his knowledge, but like we don't know that, and also. He has his own, like...
I can't imagine she doesn't talk to her husband about it.
Yeah.
Like, the first time Wilhelm liked Felice's post.
Yeah, she probably just keeps her cool about it more. Yeah. He probably keeps his cool about it more. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's possible if she knew that he might judge her for it, if she was a little more, like, subtle about it.
I could see that.
Being like, oh, Wilhelm liked Felice's post. He's like, oh, that's nice, dear.
Oh, that's nice, dear.
No, one of the only lines he has you do become a bit like family here.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
He does say that.
I mean, yeah. But I think it's like really, feel like it's really heavily implied that Smee-sun and Poppa both went to Lyrishka together.
Yeah.
The way they're both like very just so glowing about Lyrishka, it's like clearly you're both alumni.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot. Like,
yeah. Sure is.
I think in a lot of ways, like, of the like kind of turns the Young Royals can take of like introducing you to a character and then like breaking down who they are, Fleece is probably the twist that, to be fair, we've seen the most in media, like, oh, popular girl actually dealing with a lot of pressure at home.
Yeah, that's like a trope.
It is. But it's
done differently here, but it's like a thing.
But it's also like a trope. Most tropes are tropes because they're effective.
Yeah, that is true.
And yeah. And it's like, you fully get not liking Felice in the first episode, but then you're just like, well, damn.
Yeah, you're like, ah, fuck.
This makes sense. Like, I can't assassinate/hate someone that I get this much and feel this bad for.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Like, she's still a fucking mess.
Aren't we all?
Affectionate. But, like...
Thank you.
Felice the messy.
Affectionate in parentheses.
That's a bit much, but I like Felice the messy.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
It's better than Felice the nice.
we really ate with that one. And by that, I'm being very, very sarcastic about that. But
we took a nibble also know on that, that one.
I mean, the listeners also know that episode was so short.
Yeah, because we had no emotions about Felice. We probably could have just cut the episode, but still.
She's a core five. We can't do that.
I know, but we had nothing to say. Our...
The fact that we didn't have anything to say in of itself said something. I stand by that.
Okay.
Anyways, listeners, you heard how we came up with the answer to the title of the episode. Yeah. With that being said, though, do you have any more thoughts before I wrap us up?
Your thingy.
Yeah. I realized with August, I forgot to ask you if you had anything to add. So we didn't get the usual outrage reaction.
I'm sorry. I can deliver that a little bit here.
It's all good. It was on me for not asking. I think we both wanted outro.
Was that when my mic stopped? No. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Listeners don't know that happened.
Oh yeah,
I did a really good job of hiding it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
A little behind the scenes action.
Yeah, here we go. In the end, this episode finally revealed the source of the yearning for validation and approval that we've already clocked with Felice. Parental issues don't excuse behavior, but they contextualize Felice's character to the point that while she continues to act rather questionably at times, I can no longer fault her for stumbling through a situation that is basically set up to keep her falling. I did not word this correctly.
Basically set up to keep her falling on her face.
Yes. Like, Felice is going through it.
Yeah. She sure is. And I feel bad for her. I feel real bad for her.
I do. I do too. Like, now she slept with August.
She did do that. And that's...
And we're... And punishing. And we'll have to deal with that moving forward. Thank you for listening. Oh, did you have anything to add?
No, I didn't. That was just the funniest fucking. Okay, no, you're perfect. Go ahead.
You're good. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other Potter-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram or our threads at People Don't Talk About. Our next episode will be a character standing for Sarah in season 1, episode 3. So stay tuned. And with that, all I have to say is,
let's start a revolution, baby.